And we're joined here tonight by Dr. Nicole Lavoie. And Dr. Lavoie is the professor at the School of Kinesiology down at the U of M and also associate director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sports at the University of Minnesota. She also teaches sports psychology and sports sociology. Dr. Lavoie, it's really nice to have you back on the Roadhouse.
Well, it's nice to join you on a Friday night, Buck.
Yeah, I hope I'm not keeping you. I'm probably keeping you from watching the Olympics tonight.
Well, it is on, but it's, okay. It's on mute.
Okay. You can watch it without listening while we're talking
That's
to you.
That's right.
I'd hate to miss any part of it either. You know, Title IX, it's almost 40 years ago, 1972, and it's so long ago now that many young people don't even know what it's all about. Can you give just a brief summary of what Title IX was
Sure.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, it was a piece of federal legislation passed in 1972 that was designed to increase educational opportunities for girls. It wasn't a sport law, as many people assume. It's largely become associated with sport and equality in numbers in sports settings, but that is not the original intent of the law.
Well, I know when I was in school, which is a couple of years ago, girls did not participate in the bigger time sports. They didn't play basketball. You know, they didn't play. They did ski. We had a downhill ski team with girls on it, but they weren't allowed to compete. Really, they could ski on the team, but there wasn't any competition for them.
Sure.
And all that has just changed, and it's meant so much to not only young women, but all of us, I believe.
Yeah, I think the one of the upsides of Title IX is that it has increased numbers of girls participating in sports in record numbers. I mean, we've gone from 1972, where 1 in 27 girls participated in high school sports, to now it's about 1 in 3 girls. So we have made some big strides in participation numbers.
Now, I know when we spoke before, some of the things we talked about were some of the basic benefits that you've seen at the Tucker Institute looking at young women, such as lower pregnancy, teenage pregnancy rates. What are some of the other basic things that you saw changing with young women because of sports?
Yeah, the research really shows a host of benefits that can accrue when girls participate in sport, from health benefits that range from lower risk of chronic diseases like diabetes or heart disease, lower risk of obesity, and to social benefits in terms of having a better social support network and learning leadership and friendship skills. To psychological benefits, from increased self-esteem and confidence and body image.
I was thinking about this a little earlier in the day, and I kind of thought about the importance of play in young people's lives, and that seems to translate right into sports in my mind and the way people learn how to get along.
Yeah, you know, one of the trends that isn't exactly related to Title IX, but is related to what we see going on with kind of this professionalization of youth sport, is that we really see a decrease in the amount of free play for kids. So what that says is that when kids free play, they learn different skills in terms of how to get along and conflict management and making their own rules and, you know, skills such as that are being lost because most kids now are playing in highly organized youth sport environments where it's very structured, run by adults, and rule governed. So, yes, they get different benefits from that, but the role of free play in our society has really decreased.
And that seems to be that, I imagine, without getting in, there's a whole host of reasons, but loss of neighborhoods and the loss of ability for people to allow their children out really changed the way that early play is done with their neighbor kids.
That's true. That's one of the things that a lot of parents articulate, is that they don't feel it's safe to allow children out to free play in the neighborhoods anymore. And that's a really sad perception. And not that it's not true, but to the extent that it's true, I think it's sometimes we have this culture of fear about sending kids out into the neighborhoods to play. So there needs to be some additional research there in terms of the safety of neighborhoods.
When I think back to my high school sports, there's a special place there for the relationships that I had with my coaches. Mm-hmm. And some were good and some were not so good. I mean, clipboards flying through the air and football
sure.
thrown at your head were not good. But there are that's an important role there in as we grow up.
It is critical, and the research would support that. The role of the coach in creating a positive climate for kids that ends in a positive experience of fun and enjoyment, and also developmental benefits in terms of learning skills and making friends, the coach is really critical in that. And a lot of the emerging research right now shows that if the coach is not only competent and teaches the kids skills, but is a caring adult that can develop a warm, caring relationship with the athletes, that these positive things we want kids to take away from sports are more likely to happen.
After 40 years of Title IX, and of course anything is that big takes a while to really encompass most of the people, but I know there's a lot more role models, female role models in sports for young women. How about coaching? Has that been a more difficult place for females to plug into?
It has, Buck. It's interesting because with the record numbers of girls participating in sports, we have not seen that translating over into record numbers of female coaches at all levels. In fact, the numbers of female coaches has drastically declined from 1972 when Title IX was passed. Back then, the few girls that did participate, 90% of them were coached by females. Now we see at the college level, it's around 40%, 42%, and the high school and youth levels, it's even lower. In fact, some of the new data I have in Minnesota in terms of youth sport, less than 20% of all girls are coached by women. So it's a real problem and kind of a head-scratcher in terms of why isn't this translating into more female coaches as role models?
Are there definite barriers that you see for women to become coaches?
There are a lot of barriers in place. I mean, I think the biggest one from the research that we have and talking to women in terms of ones that coach and ones that don't, and, you know, their thoughts on how to get more women out there, they say, look, you know, unfortunately still in our society today, women bear the primary caretaker responsibilities in most homes. So especially when women work outside the home, they have the full-time job, then they come home and they have another full-time job, and coaching is seen as a third full-time job, or at least a third part-time job. So, you know, women are very reluctant to take on that responsibility. We see more men doing that because when men are out coaching, then the women are at home taking care of the family duties. So I think that's the biggest one that we see. And that's unfortunate because that's really a tricky one and a difficult one to make any inroads to change if we want to see more women out there coaching.
So a lot of the barriers has to do with just the women's traditional role in the household.
It does, and unfortunately youth sport and interscholastic sport mirrors kind of the gendered patterns that we see in families and in the workplace, where men kind of occupy most of the positions of power and women take on the kind of nurturing, logistical, caretaking roles that are kind of behind the scenes.
Now, there have been some recent studies, a couple of important recent studies showing, by economists, showing kind of the lifelong changes that have happened to women now that we've come a little further along from Title IX. We can start to see those things. Can you kind of summarize what they were and what they mean to us?
Sure. I think the critical thing the economists are showing is that when girls participate in school-based sport programs, which Title IX is largely responsible for, it does show that there is an increase of number of women that enter college, and it also translates into an increased number of women in the workforce in the states that have the highest numbers of girls participating in sports. So over time, those girls that played in high school sports, more of them are likely to enter college and then enter the workforce. And this new study that came out by Betsy Stevenson out of Wharton, I think, is really a great study. It's the first one that's really shown this longitudinal data tracking.
So we can definitely put a finger on the changes that have come about because of sports rather than just kind of guesswork.
Yeah, it's true. And there was a second study, too, that came out that said, look, what evidence suggests is that these expanded athletic opportunities for girls during adolescence are also associated with lower adult body mass index, which is the body fat indices, and a reduced rate of female obesity. So not only do we have some longitudinal data saying, yes, it does lead to health benefits for adult women, but adult women who were active as adolescents are also more likely to succeed in college and in the workforce.
We're speaking with Dr. Nicole Lavoie, and she is the Associate Director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sports at the U of M. Dr. Lavoie, you know, Olympics is, you're watching it or trying to, if we hadn't interrupted you, and I'm watching it every
DVR,
night.
That's what we have the DVR for.
And one of the big stories of this Winter Olympics, at least on in the U.S. picture, has been Lindsey Vonn. And Lindsey has also been in Sports Illustrated. She's been on covers of magazines. She's been on everywhere. There is some criticism out there about the media representations of women in sports. And Lindsey, in this particular case, may be up for that type of, not her herself, but the media, for that type of representation. What's your feelings on that?
Yeah, it's true, Buck. You know, Lindsey Vonn on the cover of Sports Illustrated, first of all, for the Olympic preview issue, is a really big deal that a female athlete would be on the cover of that particular issue. The troubling aspect with this that myself and others who study females in the sport media have with that particular cover is that we rarely see female athletes in mainstream sport media. Even in Olympic years, they only get 6 to 8% of all the coverage, regardless of the medium, whether it's TV broadcast or print media such as newspapers and magazines. So we rarely see them. Now, when we do see them, as Lindsey Vonn on the cover of Sports Illustrated, they are often portrayed in poses that can be interpreted as highly feminized and can be interpreted as sexualized as well. So they're not always in uniform, in action, actually skiing in her case. And her pose also highlights kind of the traditional gender roles of I'm feminine and I'm pretty.
And, of course, the four female athletes in bikinis was not representative of what they're doing in the Olympics.
Exactly. I mean, you have four highly accomplished female athletes. I think it was Hannah Teeter and Lindsey Vonn and Gretchen Bleiler, and I can't remember the fourth. But, I mean, these are some of the best female athletes in the world. And when they're continually objectified and sexualized in mainstream sport media like Sports Illustrated, and they're in the swimsuit issue, which has absolutely nothing to do with sports, it makes people, I think, take them less seriously as highly accomplished athletes. Why don't you just leave them out of the swimsuit issue? And when we do show them, let's see them in action, doing what they do best.
Exactly. You know, that brings to mind, Ann and I were talking a little earlier in the program about our girls' basketball team here in Grand Marais. They're 21-2, and when girls have success like that, they have everybody looking at them, not for, not for their looks, but for their ability and their success, really. It's a whole different feel than a swimsuit. cover.
It is. And that's the way that, you know, media scholars such as myself would like to argue for. You know, you have a highly accomplished girls basketball team up there who's having a great season. They're great athletes. They're, you know, making a run probably through the regional tournament here pretty soon. And, you know, hopefully heading south down here to Minneapolis maybe. But you would never want to see them pictured in your local newspaper in swimsuits holding a basketball. I mean, that would be an outrage. So why is it acceptable for us to do that to highly accomplished female athletes? It's, I mean, the corollary is just ridiculous.
I guess I would relate it back to before Title IX, and we would see young women as cheerleaders and homecoming queens.
Correct.
And now we can see them as successful basketball teams.
Yeah, we can. We actually see them, which we rarely do. So The problem here, Buck, is that particularly for young girls, when young girls such as, you know, the young women up on your basketball team there, when they see these sexualized images of highly accomplished female athletes over and over and over again, it starts to send the message to young girls that, hey, maybe it's really more important what I look like than what my body can do athletically. So girls do, I mean, research has shown girls do internalize these images, and it can lead to eating disorders and lower self-confidence and even maybe not even wanting to participate in sports. So it does have some consequences.
Well, you were, we only have about a minute left here,
sure.
Dr. Lavoie, but you played tennis in college, and you also played athletics in high school, I assume. And how important was that in your life?
I wouldn't be on the phone with you today if I hadn't played sports. I mean, sports has shaped my life in every aspect I can possibly think of. Now, you know, not everybody goes into a career to study sport like I do, but if I, even had I not done that, it shaped my identity, who I was, what I learned, some of my best friends I've met through sports. So it has really been pivotal for me in every aspect of my life.
We've been speaking with Dr. Nicole Lavoie, and she is the a professor at the School of Kinesiology down at the U of M and also associate director of the Tucker Center for Research on Girls and Women in Sports at the University of Minnesota. Dr. Lavoie, we want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It's been great to talk to you, and I guess I have a note here from Anne. Let's see.
I think Dr. Lavoie might want to hear this news
as well. Oh, she has some news for us. Oh,
yes. Okay. Dr. Lavoie, the host who normally co-hosts with Buck, Bob Carter, is away tonight, and we didn't know where he was, and he just called on the phone. I ran out to get it while you were speaking with Buck, and he is actually in Esco watching the girls' basketball right now.
Good.
And he called at the end of the half. The Vikings are leading 33-26 against Esco. Very exciting. And Bob was just named the Fan of the Year by the Cook County Booster Club recently.
My co-host here.
Pretty cool deal. So we just wanted to share that with our listeners because I know a lot of folks are very interested in that and following it.
That's great. Well, I'll have to keep my eye on the girls as they make their run here at the end of the season.
You know, I should bring up one more thing. You know, we're talking about a winning basketball team, but on NPR, they did a story on another small northern girls basketball team that hasn't won a game all year.
I did hear about that.
And yet that team is so close and developed such relationships that competition doesn't always have to result in victories to be, you know, important in your life.
No, it sure doesn't, and that's the beauty of sports is that, you know, I think with our increased focus on winning, sometimes we forget that there's so many other positive benefits that can accrue from being in sports, even if you lose every game. And I love that story about that team. It's just a great example of what sports should be all about.
Dr. Lavoie, thank you again so much, and we hope to talk to you again in the future.
You're welcome, Buck. My pleasure. Have a great weekend.
Yes, good night.